Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Well, good morning. After you've given your offering, would you stand with me? We're going to go into the Word of God today. I tell you, this is a couple of brief moments about vacation. You know, vacations are interesting because you have a particular thing in mind. We went to see our grandchildren and great grandchildren in Arizona, and I tell you what, it's an experience. Glad to be home. Praise it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't God good? Give the Lord a big hand. He's a good God. No, we had a great time, but honestly, there is no place like home. There is no place like home. Today, we're going to go into 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 1 through 10. And we're going to talk about something that probably most of us haven't really processed. It's the idea, when we have faith, do we have enough? And the title I got from, actually I was listening to someone on a podcast, they used the title 50-50 Faith. I'm thinking, oh, that sounds very anti-religious. But that's my subject today, 50-50 Faith. So there, now I can become a plagiarist like anyone else on the planet. But the thing about it is, we're going to look at a particular portion of Scripture that will answer some questions for you and also put you in an arena where you'll begin to trust God even more. I'll read the first verse, and we'll go all the way down to verse 15. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who wore armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines, the garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. And Ahiah and Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, I got all the interesting ones, and Phinehas, his son, and the son of Eli, and the Lord's priest in Shiloh was wearing an ephod, but the Lord did not know that Jonathan had gone. The people did not know that Jonathan had gone. The front of one faced the northward opposite Michmash, and the other southward opposite of Gibeah. So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you, according to your heart." And if they say to us, "Wait until we come to you," then we will stand and still in our place and not go up to them. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden." Wonderful. Oh, that's enough. Let's pray. I'll give the rest of it. Don't worry about it. Let's pray. Father, we are just so grateful today, because we're going to look at a couple of things about your word today that puts us in a place where we just kind of look at life sometimes from a 50-50 perspective. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. We're going to look at the words called perhaps or maybe, and find out from ourselves that really it's not such an anti-faith statement, but there's some things we just don't know. And sometimes we do things by trial and error, but Holy Spirit, you're going to show us the dynamics of your word where we can have a positive confession of that you are faithful no matter what. In spite of what we think, in spite of what we're going through, there's a positive element of the Holy Spirit that can guide and direct us and show us the pathway of righteousness. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would redirect the lives of people today that have been in the quandary of should I or shouldn't I? Will I or won't I? Oh God, would you bring us to a place of response to you that we'll know for sure that you are with us and you never fail. We thank you for this. We praise you for this. In Jesus' name and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Sorry about that. I didn't give him enough verses. I was in such a hurry to get away on vacation. I just shortchanged him. Consider this thought. The definition of faith, when clearly examined, leaves little room for us to rely on the substance of the evidence of what we desire, with the caveat of hope being able to sustain us through the process of waiting for things to come to pass. In other words, our natural instinct is to pursue things with the idea that our faith will not be tested, but rather be guaranteed beyond a reasonable doubt. I think you've heard that probably if you ever watched Perry Mason. Beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, if you don't know who Perry is, you're too young. I don't know what you're doing here. You're way too young. But as believers, our hearts and our minds need to be open to the power of faith and works, operating under the auspices of trust and belief in him who is able to do all things regardless of impending circumstances. You know what that says? There's two words we're going to examine today. Perhaps and maybe. Ever used those words before? I think you have. We all do. Well, perhaps, or maybe I'll show up, and maybe I won't. It's just kind of a cushioning word that gives us some room, some wiggle room, that in case things don't turn out the way we think they will, we won't be able to take the blame for it. Here's some questions for you. How about this? Do you believe it is possible to have faith in Jesus and still have room for things going contrary to what you might have forecasted? Well, yeah. We all have got a thought of how we want it to be. But sometimes it doesn't turn out that way. I want to deal with people who've experienced disappointment, who thought it was going to go this way, who you prayed for it and you prayed for it and it didn't happen. And somehow you're caught in the quandary. Didn't I pray enough? Didn't God love me enough? What is the thing that kept it from coming to pass? I'm here for you today, and I can't answer all your questions, but I will put you in a zone to let you know that God knows your heart right now. Secondly, do you believe that there are times that the Lord will allow things to happen even though he could have sovereignly prevented them? Can I get an amen? Amen. Then why didn't he stop it? We quote the scripture, and for we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and called according to his purposes. But somehow that scripture doesn't help. The hurt and the pain. When you thought perhaps or maybe it'd be different. I know this seems like a sobering word, but I believe at the end of it, you'll rejoice in the confidence of knowing that Jesus is with us and sustains us. Number three, what role have you assigned to your decision process that could be that could be validated by the Holy Spirit? In other words, how do you solve these problems? What gives you validation that it did turn out for good? In spite of how your emotions are processing the situation. Well, let's jump into this. Overcoming the coin toss mentality of making decisions. How I thought that was a pretty good phrase. I worked a lot on that. I hope you'd be excited, but whatever. Back to the drawing board. Here we go. 1 Samuel 14:6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who wore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of the uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Leave that up for a moment. You can have a whole host of army with you and still lose. You can have all the cash in the bank and all your resources can be drained. So if you're relying upon your horses, if you're relying upon your bank account, it may not turn out like you think. So he says, but let's go over the garrison of the uncircumcised, and it may be that the Lord will work for us. That word may, I know it's two words there, but we say, well, maybe it'll work out. I hope it does. Well, let's just dig into this a little bit, and you'll find out some things that I think will be important for you. First of all, we must be willing to overcome the imprisonment of indecision. Some of you have some decisions to make today. Where are we going for lunch? Let me know if you got a good deal. Give me the hookup. No, I'm sorry. Forgive me for being so carnal. But you know, for some people, that's a big deal. Well, we went there last week. I don't like their French fries. It's too long of a wait. Make a decision. In Jesus' name. Perhaps it's a word that expresses soft, look at this terminology, that expresses soft doubt that what we really want to happen will not occur. Perhaps. It's called soft doubt. It's like, it kind of cushions you for a better landing. How about this? When we leave room for the unexpected things to happen, we create an atmosphere that comforts our reservations toward the possible disappointment in our expectations. I could give you that phrase on a card. Because what it does is we are always shielding ourselves from unmet expectations. We always leave enough room to land somewhat without bruising ourselves. Well, what about this piece? When we assess the possibility that the extenuating circumstances may arise that are beyond our control, we include the word perhaps to give faith a soft landing. Do you have any people in your life that are always late? Raise your hand. How many of you don't have people in your life that are always late? The rest of you won't raise your hand because they're probably here. But you always have the thing, you know, and if you're like me, I'm pretty much an on-time guy, and I'll show up on time or a little bit ahead of time, and I'm hoping beyond all doubt that they're going to be on time. But I also have the shield in my mind saying, it's going to turn out like always. And at that last moment before the clock ticks at that particular time, there's something, the anxiety, and they're, come on, you can do this. I've been shattered, wounded, destroyed, annihilated. My wife and I have been married 43 years. There's a reason why we have two cars. I'm going to leave that right there. You can draw your own conclusions. But there's a reason. But, you know, it's gotten better. She'll ask me, says, honey, I'm going to meet so-and-so at such and such a place. What time should I leave home? Now, that's amazing. Because she realizes there is a deficit in her ability to plan things. She lives in perhaps. Well, that's the last bad thing I'm going to say because it's my birthday this week and I don't want to get nothing. Oh, Jesus. Jonathan was motivated to defeat his enemy because of his disdain for them. And I want to tell you, one of the motivating factors sometimes of our life is if we have enough disdain or if we realize that this is not a good thing, our motivation will go through some great extents to try to rectify situations. And he didn't even tell his dad about this. He said, you know what, these uncircumcised Philistines. Now, isn't that interesting? It was that his buddy David was the one that, you know, got the big Philistine, Goliath. He said, let's go after these guys, these uncircumcised folks. And so he gets on this campaign as far as it was. But here's what he says. Maybe the Lord will work for us was his resolve that though uncertain, he was willing to take the risk that he was in alignment with what the Lord wanted. I know the answer to this, so I'll just make a statement. But sometimes you don't really know what God might do, but you say, but there's enough gumption within you that says, you know what? I'm going after this. Maybe the Lord really wants to do this, but there's enough disdain for what's going on. Says, you know, it may not work out that way, but you know what? There's enough. I want to honor the Lord with this. I'm willing to put my risk on the line that this is what God really wants. Well, he was committed to the Lord's power that would use whoever would make themselves available. Now, here's the one thing I want to find out from all of you: are you available if God gives you an assignment that is in the perhaps realm? Some of us want it guaranteed. I don't know of anyone here who says, you know, my goal in life is to just live under the cloud of embarrassment. I love being embarrassment, just the fact of just being just thought of, I'm the village idiot. I love it. It just bathed all over, just runs over me. You need serious counseling. But he was committed to the Lord's power, would use him, whoever would make themselves available. Are you available to God for him to put you on an assignment that may not look that great? And the answer is no. Many of us aren't. Because success for us is winning all the time. We won't say that, but that's what we want to live in. The horror of embarrassment, the horror of not winning, is something that can intimidate you and follow you all the way through your life. Well, when we assess the possibility of the extenuating circumstances we may arise beyond our control, we include the word perhaps, and God will help us. Well, Jonathan is motivated to defeat his enemy because of their disdain, and he says, commitment creates the opportunity for God to demonstrate his power. If there's one thing you will take away from this message, I hope it will be this, that you will renew your resolve to make a commitment to God to do something significant for his kingdom. Now, if somebody else does it, well, we'll join the party. But how about you being the one who's committed and people following you to a commitment that God wants us to do together? Well, faith is not a formula that leads to ambiguity. Do you need that broken down a little bit? It's not a formula that we just kind of put together and just kind of throw anything in there and hope the mix works out. So 14 verse 7 says, so his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart. Seriously, have you ever seen someone involved in something and you know their heart's not in it? How does that motivate you? Well, I'll tell you what, it doesn't. Because, well, you know, it may work out. I'm really not too sure about this, but, you know, I kind of told them I was going to do it, so they're kind of haphazardly involved. It gives you no motivation whatsoever, but I'll tell you what, on the other side, if people are really into it and they're putting their whole heart into it, somehow the faith rubs off. The perhaps goes out the window and says, you know what, I don't care, come hell or high water, come whatever happens, we're going to make this thing work. I want to take the realm of your faith now to away from the perhaps realm to the fact of, you know, that surely our God is able to deliver this thing into our hands. So Jonathan knew that the pursuit of Philistines would involve the worst word that there is in the human language, R-I-S-K, risk. Any millionaire or billionaire will tell you they did not get there playing it safe. There was risk involved. Say what you want about Jeff Bezos and all the nonsense that's going on with him, but he got some comfortable cash, multi-billions of dollars. His, you know, lifestyle is questionable, but that's another story. But there was risk involved all along the way. He took huge risks, magnanimous risks. And frankly, I'm not jealous or even envious of where he is at this particular point, but I'll tell you how you get there. There's going to be risk involved. And he and his armor bearer were about to make a commitment to pursue the enemy in a very unusual way. They encouraged one another to strengthen their heart's resolve. Now, if you read through the text here, it says, In order for them to get up to the enemy, they had to scale this wall on either side of them. They're going up there to the enemy. Enemy's up here, you're down here, and you're scaling this sharp wall to get up there so you can fight with them. Does that sound like a good deal? What are you going to do if the enemy figures out you're on your way and you're scaling the wall, you have no weapon in your hand? They'll pick you off like nothing. That's a lot of nerve. They're up here, you're down here, you got to scale a wall to get up to them. But you say, you know, perhaps the Lord will be with us. That is, to me, that sounds stupid. Or you've got a word from God that's not going to be intimidated by the circumstances that are before you. Some of you will never get anything done, myself included, when we look at what we have to go through to get there. You'll talk yourself out of it. The risk is too great. The mountain's too high. The cliffs are too sharp. But at the top of it is victory that God intended for you to have. Well, we must be careful who we allow in our life when we choose to enter the place of maybe. I had him put that in bold letters. One of the worst things, or shall I say, one of the things you don't want in your life is someone who's half-hearted, who's not with you. They kind of say, they give you all the right words, but their body language and their participation tells you they're not really with you. Choose the people who are with you very carefully. You know, it's interesting, Jonathan and David, even though David's not involved in this particular campaign, they had such an amazing commitment to each other that here is Jonathan, you know, the son of Saul, who's trying to kill David. And Jonathan is David's best friend. He says, I know my dad's kind of has this thing, he wants to kill you and this type of thing, but you know, I found in you a great friend, and my dad's not going to talk me out of being your friend. That's the kind of people you want in your life. The people that even their dad, which he's not being disrespectful, he says, but you know something, my dad's got it wrong. There's a quality in you that's worth following. There's a quality in you that's worth being with. And regardless of what he says, regardless of how he badmouths you, I found something in you, and I know it's something valuable, and I'm going to stick with you. See, some of you are those fair, you're not even fair weather friends. You're not even stormy weather friends. I don't think you're a friend at all. Because I say, do you know so-and-so about them? And they hear one bad thing about you, and all of a sudden, friendship has been dissolved. I used to sing this song. Maybe one day before I die, I'll sing it again. It's called Rainy Day Christian. With a blue sky above me, I had lots of friends who said they'd stick by me until the very end. The wind started blowing, there's no way of knowing where all of those friends had gone. Oh, yeah, there's more to the song. Rainy Day Christian, where are you, brother? I need some encouragement. I need somebody to stand with me. Some of you fair weather, rainy day Christians need to have yourself really sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit to do some great things in your life. Well, here we go. 50-50 faith is not for everybody. So, well, I guess I should go home. When I say it's not for everybody, I want you to take a quick examination as to why you may not qualify. That means, when we leave our comfort zone, we must be ready to battle fear and uncertainty by our decisions to move forward. Fear and uncertainty are the two things that will keep you from moving out in the way that God wants you to. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear does not belong in your life. Fear is not a platitude. It's a spirit. You're feeling so good, and all of a sudden, oh, what could happen? All of a sudden, it just wipes out the possibility that there could be success. Uncertainty, what do you know for certain? The sun's going to rise. No, the sun ain't. Clouds roll in. You won't even see the sun tomorrow. Well, be careful who you talk to about what God is doing in your life. Be careful. or the people you let into your life, you tell them, say, you know, God's really done this, and he's done this, he blessed me this particular way. Some people are jealous of you right now. They're jealous of your wife, they're jealous of your kids, they're jealous of your job, they're jealous of your finances, they're jealous of your house. Those people, you know, and be careful. I mean, don't be afraid of folks, but be careful. And let me show you how that carefulness works. Because, you know, it could be a coworker, friend, relative, you know. Now, if you happen to be in this particular profession, do not take offense to this. But there's some people in professions that find out a lot of things about folks. I'll tell you two people right now. Barbers and hairdressers. Folks sit down in that chair, their filter is off, and they'll tell you things about everybody, about their wife, their kids, their girlfriend, their boyfriend, the thing they stole at work, and they feel like they're talking to an invisible shield. You become a cart where they just kind of just let it all out there. And God bless you if you have a nail lady. Why is she working on your nail? Oh, girl, let me tell you how life really works. Where are you going to go? Your nails are wet. She got a file in her hand. The girl could stab you. Just threw that in there for a little something, you know. Perhaps it's a place of uncertainty where faith is developed. With God, all things are possible. Can I get an amen? Amen. But our efforts and engagement come without guarantee or warranty. All things are possible with God. But where's the guarantee? Where's the warranty? So if I believe all things are possible, then it all should work out, right? Now, let's go a little further with that. We must not use our level of comfort as confirmation that we are doing the right thing. Ever felt really good about something and it didn't turn out so good? This is the car for me. Jesus. Ooh, glory to God. Until something happened. I don't know why the devil made me buy that thing. You cursing that thing. And then when you saw the bill, whoo, Jesus, $185 an hour. I'm going to help you today. God bless you. We must not use our level of comfort as confirmation that we're doing the right thing. It's like, feels good. There is a way that seems right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction. Is that the word of God? Looks right, feels right, smells right, acts right, drives right, but you know what? It may not be the right thing. Amen. Do not use your level of comfort as a barometer as to whether or not you'll get involved. Perhaps or maybe says, you know what? That's when perhaps or maybe is not your enemy. He says, you know, I got to look at the other side of this, that maybe I'm just reacting on an emotional level. We cannot use feeling comfortable as confirmation to not move ahead. With our, here's a word here, convictions. Can I talk to you about convictions for a moment? Real, honest, sincere convictions come through the Holy Spirit. Amen. When Jesus was about to leave here, he says, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you an umpire. I'm going to send you someone who will live and abide within you. And he will tell you the right thing to do all the time. And he has a 100% accuracy. But you know what our problem is, and my problem is, I don't consult him enough. Well, anybody should know that. Or everybody knows this. No, anybody, everybody died a long time ago. Perhaps maybe the recipe for insecurity. Let me just read these verses together. Numbers 22, verses 1 through, or excuse me, 5 through 12. Listen to this. And he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, Pethro, which is near the river in the land of the sons of the people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come from Egypt, seeing they cover their face of the earth, and dare settling next to me. Move on. Therefore, please come at once and curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you blessed is blessed, and he who you cursed is cursed. Move on. We're going to go through these pretty quickly. So the elders of the Moab and the elders of Midian departed from the diviner's fee in the hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him in the words of Balak. And he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me, since the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam." Then the Lord came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" First of all, ever tried to do something God didn't want you to do? Say yes. Say, who's your posse? Who's your homies? What are they doing with you? What are you doing with them? I'll leave that alone because there's more to add to this, okay? So Balaam said to God, "Oh, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me saying, 'Look at the people who's coming out of Egypt, and they are covering the face of the earth. Come now and curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out.'" Verse 12. And the Lord said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people for them, for they are blessed." Any ambiguity there? Anybody confused? So once you get a word from God like that, and you do the contrary of that, you are on your own. When God says don't go, well, maybe God didn't mean not really go. Maybe he meant for me, that was for yesterday. Today's a different day. Have you ever rationalized something stupid you're going to do? Praise Jesus. Our faith can be fortified in the incubator of possibilities that are accessible to the risk of experiencing failure. If you don't have a copy of that, write it down or get it from someone, because I want you to take this concept. It's going to help you. It's going to save your life. Our faith can be fortified in the incubator of possibilities that are accessible to the risk of experiencing failure. Now, so that's almost contrary to what you just said. Many times we don't act out in faith is because we're afraid to fail. Is that true? If that's not true for you, I'd like to know what planet you're from. Because there's a whole host of things that I don't do because I'm afraid I'll fail. By the end of this message, hopefully I can give you an antidote for that, but here's that'll help you with that. Hope must be applied to anything that we are willing to undertake that can bring about a desired success. When we confront the enemy, we must be aware that he will do everything he can to prevent us from exercising faith. The devil is a faith killer. "Oh, you'll never do that. You've never done that before. You're too small. You're too big. You're too this. You're too that." He'll give you all these reasons why it's not going to happen. And you know, the amazing thing about it is we believe it. You know, you're right. Or I tried once before and I failed, and it was so embarrassing. I told myself, "I'll never do that again." Well, perhaps does not have to be that which will unhinge your faith. Just because you are comfortable, it does not mean that we are in the wrong place. I remember throughout my time of ministry, I remember when I was first experienced to baptism of the Holy Spirit and various other. Now, I have to admit, if you tip the scale to an opposite extreme, I've been in some extreme circumstances. Yeah, he's laughing. Extreme. Oh, I've seen people body surf on the floor. I've seen people do all kinds of interesting things that God may not have been a part of. But you know what? It did not stop me from believing in God. Yes. Amen. I mean, I've seen people just wild something. Seriously? Oh, yeah, this is what God wants me to do. And they're just, you know, paragliding or whatever they're doing. But there was also a genuineness of the Holy Spirit that you cannot erase. And I want you to just take one moment, actually 10 seconds, to erase from your memory the crazy things that keep you from believing in Jesus right now. Things that people said, things that people did, because I'll tell you what, if that could be the hindrance of you moving forward in your relationship with God, it does not need to be there. Let it go.
Oh, I just was a wacko one time. She said this figure there. I saw some crazy things happen, and I'm never going to believe in God as far as it's concerned.
And you have guarded your heart to the point where you are so detoxified that the Holy Spirit can't even open, can't even knock on the door.
Our heart must be fully engaged in what we are undertaking. Back to 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 7 through 10. This is great. So the armor bearer said to him, do all this in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart. Not mine, but according to your. Then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men and we will show ourselves to them. And if they say they are with us, wait until we come to you. Then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say to us, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. Wow. That's backwards. You look at just read the text. Let me give those words to you. It says, and they say, until we come to you, let me say to us, until we come to you, then we will stand in our place and do not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. Now listen, I'm going to give you an illustration. People up there, they don't have any weapons in their hands because remember, they're climbing up the rocks to get up to them. You're a sitting duck. But that's a sign from the Lord that God's put them into our hands. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. See, sometimes you're waiting for everything to make logical sense, that it's the truth, and God tells you something that doesn't really align with your way of thinking, and all of a sudden, and so we learned how to self-protect ourselves for things that aren't even a threat. Well, the Spirit of God will give us divine indicators, means which we can operate under the covering of God's grace, and the Lord will encourage our faith with signs and indicators of his presence. We're getting real close to this. Our faith must overtake our fear of not being able to to accomplish the things the Lord has set before us. Verses 11 through 14 says this. Verse 4, and then it says, between the passes by which they sought to go over the garrison, there was sharp rock on one side, sharp rock on the other. That's where they're overcoming. And the name of one was Bozez, and the other was Asena. Now let's go on to verses 11 through 14. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes where they have hidden. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you something. Jonathan said to the armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into our hands. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. As he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. What? This doesn't make any sense. Ever seen God do something that makes no sense at all? You know why? Because he's God. He doesn't have to use your sensory perception. Well, our victory often requires vulnerability and the courage to act without visible evidence of impending success. God said, well, do this. And saying, but that doesn't make any sense. These guys will take me, they'll take me to the cleaners. God says, no. God may tell you to sow into something. Says, I'm not going to give those people my money. And God says, give them some money. He said, no, I'm not. Your logic is an enemy of God's provision. The Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. Say, I'm so broke, I can't afford to give it to anybody. You're not that broke. You can't trust God. God says, I want you to give to them. I don't care what you think you cannot give. Do what I tell you to do. And time and time again, I can't even tell you the stories where God said, give to some particular person. I said, you know what? I stopped questioning. I said, sure, fine. And I can't tell you, good running over God pours back into you. But you don't give to get, you give because God said to. God is not a spiritual ATM, okay? Just thought I'd let you know. Putting thoughts into action moves maybes to victory. Experience is the friend of wisdom, but the enemy of faith. That same podcast I was watching, the fellow quoted, I don't know where he got it from, it could have been his own. But here's one that you need to just nestle in your brain. It says this, experience is the friend of wisdom, but the enemy of faith. Your experiences will many times override your faith. And you've told yourself, I'm never going to fail again. I'm never going to trust again. I'm never going to believe anybody again. I'm not going to look like a fool again. And you know something? Your faith is dead. Because somebody ripped you off or it didn't work out the way you thought it was. And now you're sitting there in your poverty and pity. And God can't do anything in your life. Perhaps and maybe have taken over. Well, divine partnership is your part and God's part. 50-50 faith. Faith is being able to step out on maybe, trusting God during the process. And the miracle of maybe with uncertainty versus confidence without expectation. I'm getting close to the closing on this particular portion of scripture. I can go through in just a quick moment. If I perish, I perish. You know who said it. Esther chapter 4, 13 through 16. Look at this. And Mordecai told the answer to Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Can I put it, who knows, to perhaps, okay? Now, this last part. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai and go gather the Jews, and he says, if I perish, I perish. That's not a suicide mission. It's a mission of confidence. What are you willing to put your life on the line for? Our decisions carry great weight and impact on our future and that of others. As the worship team makes their way back up here, we must realize that the Lord will give us the opportunity to partner with him to bring forth deliverance to those under the threats of the enemy. The Holy Spirit assignments are time sensitive, and we must make a decision that's irreversible. I want to tell you right now, there are people in this room right now that right now God is going to has an assignment on you that is time sensitive. There's a decision that you can make today, and this is the only day you can make it. It will not be, his shelf life will be over after the service is over. What? God is speaking to people in this room right now that today is the day that you need to make a decision for him. And this is the only day it's going to work. You say, you mean forever? No, this is for today. But remember, tomorrow's not promised to you. The day you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Because by the time next time you hear from God, your heart will be so hardened that you won't be able to hear him and you'll hear message after message after message and it'll just roll off your back. God is speaking to people right now that says, this is your day to make up your mind, throw perhaps and maybe out the window. It's time for you to make a decision today. Hear this. Our call to action is to engage our hearts in sacrifice and commitment to demonstrate who and what we believe. We must be fully engaged our heart and actions toward that which we believe to be the will of God. I want to tell you this much. Is the will of God for every person in this room to be saved? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That no one should perish. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That includes you. Well, what about this? We must be willing to face the things that would seem impossible and life-threatening. Some of you are intimidated by the fact you say, oh, I've never really given my life to Jesus. And I don't know what people would think. I don't know what my girlfriend would think. I don't know what my boyfriend would think. I don't know what my parents would think. I don't know what my friends would think. I don't know what my people on my job would think. Really? So really, they control your life. You don't. You need to take back your life and allow Jesus to have control of your life. We must let go of the fear of losing what we cannot keep to gain what we cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Everybody bow your heads with me right now. Everybody. I want to get real serious. Perhaps, maybe, the Lord will help us. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit says, I will, if you will. With every head bowed, every eye closed, we've sung this song many, 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 many times at the end of a service. Pastor Paul had it on the directory of what we would sing, and it would just fit so much to where I'm going at this moment. The words of the song says, Lord, I run to you, no one else would do. Lord, you said we'd face trouble, pain, and fear. But to be of good cheer, to be of cheer, for you have come, overcome the world. Every person with your head bowed today, if there's fear in your heart today of losing, if there's fear in your heart today of losing friends or losing connection or favor from folks, that fear is not from God. It's from the enemy of your soul that's kept you hostage way too long. If there's fear in your heart this day, since you've gone too far, you sinned too much, you were out at the club last night, you did drugs before you came here, you're in a bad relationship, you've just gone beyond on the place where God can touch you, that's a lie. God says, those who come to me, I will no wise cast them out. I'm going to pray a prayer to cast that off of you right now. And those of you who have known Jesus and have fallen away, and those who have never known Jesus, you have the rightful passage of coming and responding to Jesus today and be alleviated of all those things and to start a fresh relationship with him. Holy Spirit, do what you do so well. Let your anointing flow over people now that the perhaps and the maybes and it could have, should have, would have, will fall off of us and will say, Jesus, I come to you today. I need you more than anything else. Before I walk out of these doors today, I want to know that I'm in right relationship with you. And whatever it takes, God, I won't let embarrassment, I won't let fear, I won't let pride keep me from doing what I need to do. I need you more than I need anything else. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, the Holy Spirit has talked to you and he's touched you. Male or female, doesn't matter. Lift your hand right now and say, you know, I need to come to Jesus today. Would you do that? Just lift it up high where I can see it. That's right, lift up high where I can see it. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else says, I need to do that today. Some of you are straight away from Jesus. You know what? I'm not going to wait till Easter. Today I need to come to Jesus and lay my life before him. If that's you, lift your hand high. Would you do it? That's right. God bless you. God bless you. Lord, we leave this place today with a realization. Fear, doubt, unbelief no longer has control over us. our confession as to who you are this very moment can go beyond perhaps or maybe to the fact that your word says that you're for us all the time. And Lord, I pray for those who lifted their hands and didn't respond or didn't come forward. Lord, you know who they are. You know what's going on in their life. No condemnation to them. But Lord, have a conversation, have a connection with them this week, even today. And finish the work that you started by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I bless these people today. I encourage them today to be all that you said that they're going to be. And I give all glory and honor and praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.